Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Lil Dudes Insect Academy podcast. I am here at the ESA conference this year in Washington, D.C., and I'm sitting across the table with my new friend, Laura. I'm so excited to have you on the show, Laura, so go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
Hi, my name is Laura Weiser Erlandson. I'm an associate professor at Texas A&M University, Central Texas.
Nice, yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about what you do in just a minute, but let's go back to your schooling. Where did you go? Who did you study under, and what did you sort of work on throughout that?
Okay, well, if we go back pretty far, I originally wanted to be a physical therapist.
Oh, really?
Which is very different from being an entomologist.
Yeah.
And so I went to a small private school in Buffalo, New York called Damon College. And what I realized was through some of my professors, mm-hmm. I found that insects were actually quite complex mm-hmm. and interesting. I was not a girl that liked insects. I stayed away from them yeah. as much as I could. And my professor had me come in and really kind of started reading chapters about different insects and looking at their behaviors. And mm-hmm. I think the one that really got me was looking at damselfly mating behaviors because they do some really cool things, the males do, in order to ensure that they're actually fathering the eggs.
Right.
And so that just kind of blew me away that insects had actual deliberate behaviors mm-hmm. like any other vertebrate that you see.
Yeah.
They're easy to work on. And, you know, I think in comparison to vertebrates, they're, you know, not as attractive to people. So,
right.
Because we don't know a lot about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on to your master's, what did you do for that?
So my master's degree, I also stayed in New York.
Okay.
I went to Binghamton University, and I studied under Dr. Nancy Stamp.
Okay.
What I found with that, I was very interested in predators and their interactions with their prey, and then also how that tied into the prey's plant material that they were eating. So we were looking at kind of three levels. So the predator...
Right.
The host, and then the host's host. So it's called tritrophic interactions.
Okay.
And what we found, so I actually used a stink bug and the tomato hornworm and then the tomato plant. And the tomato plant has a lot of really nasty chemicals in them.
Mm.
And you can smell those when you touch a tomato. All,
right.
All that smell kind of is indicative of the nasty chemicals that are inside.
Yeah.
And my question was, would those chemicals filter through the herbivore and into the predator?
Mm.
And would the predator be able to withstand those chemicals if it was well-fed? So if it was healthy and not stressed,
okay.
Could its immune system take care of, you know, those toxins?
Mm.
And it turns out that, yes, as long as they were well-fed, the toxins didn't have a lot of effect on them. But if they were starving... in any way. So if they had limited food supply
yeah.
and they were stressed out,
right.
the toxins that were filtering through their prey would actually negatively affect their longevity, their size.
Mm.
So it was really important for them to be well fed.
Yeah. So I could see implications to similar work like with livestock. Like if your food is eating something, you know, you eventually... in turn end up eating that food also. So yeah, that's super interesting. So so next up, what did you do next from there?
So from there, I went to Iowa State University for my PhD work.
Okay.
And I stayed with the kind of predator prey type of interaction.
Yeah.
And so I was really interested in biological control.
Mm-hmm.
So any way that we can reduce or even eliminate the amount of pesticides that we put on crops is great.
Right.
And so if we can use what nature's actually given us,
right.
then maybe we can kind of save some of that, you know, some of that pesticide use. Now, I'm mm-hmm. not anti-pesticide. I think it is important to use, but
right.
it would be great to be able to actually reduce the amount we use. It'll save the farmers money. it saves some impact on the environment and some of the non-target organisms.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working in the alfalfa crop, looking at the potato leafhopper, which is the pest of alfalfa.
Okay.
And we were looking at a way to increase the amount of predators that were naturally there. So alfalfa is a kind of an interesting crop because there are multiple harvests a year.
Mm.
So it can be harvested 3 or 4 times a year.
Oh, really?
And so what happens is when it's harvested, the potato leafhoppers leave the field,
mm-hmm.
and so do all the predators.
Oh.
But when that alfalfa starts to regrow again, the first thing to come back are the herbivores, the potato leafhopper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a delay or a lag time between that and when the predators start coming back in.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this period of time where the potato leafhopper is, like, free.
It's uncontrolled.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, when you're a teenager and your parents go out for the night and you're all like, woo, we're going to, you know, maybe have some friends over. You know, it's freedom. And so what can happen during that time is their populations can get out of control and you can actually have worse damage than you would if the predators were already there. So we devised a system where the farmer would leave a little strip of alfalfa in their field and not harvest it at all between, you know, periods of growing. And so that would keep all of the predators in the field. It also kept some of the pests in the field, but the important thing was keeping the predators in. And it also delayed the herbivore from moving into that nice, juicy...
Yeah.
new growth that
the farmer
wanted.
So it's like a sacrifice.
It was. Yeah. And it wasn't a big sacrifice. And so we found that it actually worked. I was lucky to have been featured on the cover of a magazine called Hay and Forage Grower.
Oh, nice.
It was like way back in 1998 or something.
That's great.
It was quite an honor.
Yeah.
Really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really great. Yeah. Okay. So how about now? What are you doing? You're at Texas A&M, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that like? What are some of the research that you and your students are doing?
All right. So I'm at one of the smaller A&Ms, actually.
Okay.
A&M has 11 universities.
Yeah.
And so I'm at one of the smaller ones. So we're mainly a teaching university, but I still get to do research.
That's great.
All of my students, we have a general biology program.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my students are required to do some research. And so the ones that want to work with me, I kind of push to the insects realm.
Nice.
And in particular, some of the biological control.
Mm-hmm.
And so through my students, we've been doing some really neat experiments on predators and some of the pests that are currently, you know, a problem. So I had a project with a student a couple of years ago on soybean aphid. Sorghum.
Oh, yeah.
Sorghum aphid. All right, so so sorghum aphid and looking at its effects on the growth of a lady beetle. Lady beetles love aphids.
Yeah.
And we were lucky we got that published. So
that's awesome.
My undergrad, as an undergrad student, to have a publication in
that's
a scientific
amazing.
Journal is huge.
Yeah, undergrad, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I've been working with some other students with lacewings and how they could potentially cannibalize each other. Well, we know that they do.
Right.
And so lacewings are really cool because they lay their eggs on the end of a silk stalk.
Right.
So it just kind of, and so what we tested was, does the length of that stalk affect the rate of cannibalism?
Mm.
And we found out that yes. It definitely does. And
oh, really?
It's kind of that's what we expected to see, and we did. But it hadn't been actually tested and shown before.
Interesting.
And then I have another student right now who's working on lady beetle preference for cabbage caterpillars.
Mm.
And whether or not they would prefer these caterpillars eating on green cabbage or eating on red cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
There are different chemicals
in
them. And this is something that is, she's about halfway through her experiment, but it looks like they are avoiding all the caterpillars that eat on red cabbage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting. Matter of fact, she did find one, and this is totally anecdotal,
right?
Because it's only like one, you know, data point. But the one lady beetle that did attack the red caterpillar, or the one that was feeding on the red cabbage, died.
Really?
The caterpillar just kind of threw up on the lady beetle, and the lady beetle died.
Wow.
So, again, totally anecdotal, nothing that I could publish or even draw conclusions from, but it was kind of a really neat
and interesting
thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's something going on.
Yeah,
and so
the other ones
like,
knew not to mess with it,
right,
I guess.
Right.
Wow.
So we're going to look into kind of some future research and kind of delve into, like, what's happening there. You know, and possibly get a chemical, a biochemist involved to see, you know, what are the chemicals that might be affecting the lady beetle.
Right. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're here at ESA, the Entomology Conference. And what's going on here? Like, were you coming to listen to some talks, or did you bring any students, or are you just hanging out for the week?
I would love to say that I'm just hanging out for the week.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, it's not really work. It's fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I did not bring any students.
Okay.
They are actually busy with their classes right now.
Yeah.
But I love coming to ESA. I love seeing the student talks, especially. So I do serve as a judge for one session every meeting. And that was Monday morning. I got to sit in and listen to a bunch of talks, and I will tell you that, you know, as a judge sitting there in the audience, our students are amazing, and it was really, really hard to find, like, a clear winner. I mean, they were all so close. We ended up having to be, you know, kind of extremely picky just to find something to, you know, differentiate, you know, one over the other.
Just looking for something,
Yeah, I mean, I've always been so impressed with the student talks. I mean, the professionals are great, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the students, they just put so much passion and energy into what they're doing and how they're presenting it. And their excitement just comes through. And it kind of makes me feel like, you know, I could go back in time and be a, you know, no graduate student, you know, full of that enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Although my students do that for me as well. So.
Yeah, that's really great. I love that. Yeah, I love to hear that. Where did you, like, originally narrow down insects? Like, entomology, like, this is what I want to do. Like, was there a moment, or was it kind of over time throughout your schooling? Or where did you originally get into entomology?
Yeah, it really was during my undergrad. So when my professor told me that I couldn't work on vertebrates, I couldn't work on anything but insects.
Yeah.
And we started kind of researching them together.
Mm-hmm.
She was wonderful. Her name is Dr. Brenda Young, and she took me under her wing.
Yeah.
She spent an entire summer going out to a fields with me and showing me the different insects and showing me how to conduct research in the field. You know, I considered, you know, her friend by the time I graduate.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was just really, really inspirational
That's
to me.
Really
she
great.
Was a wonderful teacher and a wonderful mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that actually works into our next question really well. Who is kind of inspires you? Who do you look up to, and who kind of led you along the way, whether they knew it or you knew them or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say Brenda would be the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of base a lot of my teaching on her style.
Right.
Because she was such an incredible, interactive, engaging teacher. And a lot of my job is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But she did bring me the passion of insects.
Yeah.
Other people, there's so many people in the society that I really look up to. People that, you know, kind of came before me. And also people that I went to graduate school with. And I watch, you know, what they've done with their careers. And there's a lot of, you know, wow, I'm so proud of them. I, you know, really want to kind of emulate that part of their life and what they're doing, and I want to be more like that person.
Yeah.
And I find that every time I come here, I hear somebody or see somebody that, you know, has this quality that I'm like, you know, I really want to try to incorporate that into my research, into my teaching, into my life, because they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they're very engaging and passionate mm-hmm. and attractive.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they're so good at getting their points across.
Yeah.
And that's really how I want to be.
Yeah,
and
it's inspiring.
Right. Yeah. I always strive to be better. And I tell my students this all the time, no matter how long you teach, no matter how long you study something, there is always room to improve in your life.
Yeah.
No matter what facet of your life it is, you can always improve yourself. You're
never done. No. No, yeah, and that's really great to hear from, you know, all these people here too. There's the amount of diversity here is insane with, you know, what they all study and everything from medical to agricultural to teaching to, morphology. Just all of it is the breadth at which is at the people that are here is just astounding to me. So. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Yeah, so moving on to what are some of your extra favorite hobbies or activities that you enjoy in your spare time, either related or not to entomology?
Spare time is an interesting concept.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds nice, right?
I know. Well, I do have a family.
Nice.
So I have, I do have two beautiful daughters, and they are 14 and 17, and
that's
so
great.
I really enjoy doing things with them.
Yeah,
we like musicals.
That's
we
great.
Love going to the theater, and so we do the community theater, and then I also this year we have season tickets for Broadway at Austin.
Nice.
So I know.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know. So we've already seen six.
Wow.
So I don't know if you've seen Six the Musical, but amazing.
Really?
So we love musicals. My girls have kind of gotten me into my older one sews, and she does costume design. So she's kind of been showing me how to make some of my own clothes.
Nice. That's great.
I know.
Yeah.
And my younger one is just so much fun.
Yeah.
So I love going out with her. She likes hiking and you know, going bowling. So
nice.
So we do a little bit of that. And I love reading, but I don't get a chance too often to do some
to read for
you
fun.
Know, to read
yeah.
for fun, right?
Because yeah.
there's just so much reading that we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, not that I don't kind of enjoy that as well, because you're always learning something. But sometimes it's just nice to, like, you know, go to Middle Earth.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
You know, spend some time with Frodo and, you know, just kind of lose yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not really sure what other hobbies. I do like little escape room games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't usually go to the places, but they have, like, the little ones in the box.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Have you seen those?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So I do like that. I do like jigsaw puzzles. So those
nice.
Are things that you can kind of start and, like, put away for a while.
Right, and come back to
spend
later.
Spend 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really great. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, so what are your big plans for the future? What's ahead for you? Other research you want to do with your students or, anything else that you want to do moving forward?
Yeah, really, just the research with my students, that really is kind of the big thing in terms of career-wise, you know, in the research front. The students have really great kind of out-of-the-box ideas.
Right.
Some of the ideas that they've come up with and come to me and said, hey, you know, Dr. E, I want to do this, and I'll just kind of raise my eyebrow at them like, do you really? And then they do the experiment, and they come up with some really neat results that I did not expect.
Really?
And so having somebody who's just kind of not kind of pigeonholed, right?
Yeah.
Into this field and being able to think from different perspectives. And the students are really great at doing that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the you know, the cabbage butterfly thing, that I think is going to turn into, you know, several projects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff that's happening there. You know, there are a couple other students that are doing some things that are really neat as well. And so I think that the questions just never end. I mean, that's the nature of science, and that's absolutely why, you know, we will always have a job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is job security, but it's also fun. And
absolutely.
To do something and have a job that you really enjoy going to, right? I mean, that's the saying, right? You will, you know, never have to work in your life if you enjoy your job.
Yep.
And I think I have my dream job.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
Yeah. And I think my next step for my job is I personally, mm-hmm. I do not speak for Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I personally would love to have get a master's degree.
Yeah.
You know, as part of our curriculum.
Yeah.
A lot of my students are actually kind of disappointed because they have to go somewhere else for a master's degree, and they want to stay and work on what they've been working on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's plans. There'll be stuff to keep me busy until I retire.
Nice. That's great. Yeah, I love to hear that. So lastly, before we wrap this up, where could we learn more about what you've done or what you're working on? Maybe social media, website, or maybe website for your lab, something like that. Where could we learn more about that?
Most of my stuff is on the Texas A&M Central Texas website.
Great.
Through the biology program.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. So you guys can go there to learn more about that. Thank you so much for being on the show. This was super awesome and great to get to know you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. This has really been so much fun.
Yes,
thank you.
So fun. Yeah, and you're an amazing guest. You obviously are so passionate about this. So,
well, you're a very good host.
Thank you.
Easy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.